We gather in the Lord's house this day to worship and celebrate our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us prepare our hearts and minds to worship this morning. Good morning. It's good to gather in the Lord's house on this day. I know it's wet and cold outside, but it's warm to gather in the Lord's presence this day for worship. It's good to gather back in the sanctuary this morning. And for those that are joining us on Facebook Live, we hope that you are joined with your family and friends this morning to worship this day. This is Transfiguration Sunday, a day that we will remember when Jesus was on top of the mountain with Peter, James, and John, and they got to experience something that they never could have imagined. We'll read that scripture passage in just a few moments, but let us prepare to encounter God in a new way, in a special way, in a mysterious way today, especially as we gather around the Lord's table for the Lord's Supper. This morning for our worship service, if you're watching us via Facebook Live, make sure you go to our website at www.fbc-elon.org and pull up our worship bulletin and use that as a resource today for worship this morning. I do want to remind you about our schedule coming up for the month of March. We will return to in-person Sunday school and in-person rooted prayer time next Sunday morning. Rooted prayer time is at 9:20 in our sanctuary every Sunday morning, and we will pray for our church family. And as we are entering into the season of Lent, we'll have a special Lenten focus each time during our prayer time. So everyone's invited to join us for that time of prayer at 9:20 each Sunday morning. That'll be followed by, of course, at 9:45 for our Sunday school classes. There's a class for everyone. So anybody who wants to come, join us for a time of Bible study at 9:45. Of course, followed at 11 a.m. for our morning worship service here in the sanctuary. That service will still be streamed on Facebook Live. So come gather together next Sunday morning for our full slate of Sunday morning activities. I also want to remind you that tonight we are wrapping up our winter virtual Bible study on the book of James. James, putting faith into action. Tonight at 5 p.m., we will be wrapping up with session 8 in our study. Tonight, we're looking at the final 8 verses in chapter 5, where James turns his focus on the importance of prayer and how prayer needs to be an active part of our faith life. So if you haven't had a chance to join me yet, it's not too late. Come join me at 5 p.m. on Facebook Live. live tonight for our final session of our Bible study. All of those sessions can be found on our website. The study guides can be found there. You can also go to our Facebook page where all of those videos are recorded there. So at any time to catch up on what we've been doing the last couple weeks. So join me tonight as we wrap up our study of the book of James. I want you to mark your calendars. You receive this in the newsletter. You also received this by email just a week or so ago. March 13th, we have a couple meetings, important church meetings, that will be coming up that afternoon. 4 o'clock that afternoon, church council will meet. So all our ministry teams, make sure you have a team representative there for that meeting. That will be immediately followed at 5 o'clock by our Elon Roundtable meeting. And that's open for anybody to come for this business session. We'll discuss what's going on in the life of our church, talk about future plans coming up, and I encourage you to come. That'll be at 5 p.m. upstairs in our fellowship hall on Sunday, March 13th. You probably received it by email. You also received it in the newsletter for our March newsletter, but I want to say thank you. Thank you for your generosity. Thank you for your giving over the last month as we collected items for the Salvation Army. Those items are still in the bin outside near our door as you came in the worship service this morning. They will be delivered this week to the Salvation Army to help stock their food pantry. But also I want to say thank you for your generosity in supporting our CBF missionaries in Japan, Carson and Laura Fushi. We raised over $1,400 that were mailed to them late this past week through CBF. Carson and Laura are not expecting this gift, so we hope this will be a special blessing to them over the next week or two, and we hope this will be able to support them and their missions work in the coming weeks and months. But thank you for your support as we support them, not just through our prayer, but through our financial giving. Our March Missions Gathering, which begins the month of March, which starts on Tuesday, we are collecting food items for our food pantry. We've been giving away quite a few food boxes over the past couple weeks to families in need. And so a few of the items that we need for this for our food pantry are specific items. So when you go to the grocery store, pick up some of these things. Canned baked beans, canned chicken, spaghetti noodles and sauce, pasta, and canned fruit. I know everybody likes to pick up cereal because it's an easy thing to grab. We've got more than enough cereal. We don't need cereal. We know everybody likes to buy canned corn and canned green beans. We don't need canned corn and canned green beans. We have enough of those. So make sure you look at your newsletter. They're listed there, the things we need. So make sure you pick some of those items up and bring them over the next couple weeks as we restock some of those items in our food pantry. Gay wanted me to mention this morning that our senior adults are getting back to some ministries in the coming months, in the month of March. One thing that's coming up this week is their senior adult luncheons at K&W. They'll be meeting at K&W this Thursday, which is March 3rd at 11:30 a.m. To gather around the table to enjoy a meal together. If you want to go, all you have to do is show up. You don't need to sign up. You just have to show up. 11:30 a.m., enjoy a meal around the table with our senior adults at K&W. Also, there is a trip coming up in a couple weeks. There's sign-up sheets in the foyer for that trip to a museum in Greensboro. As we gather here today, many other ministry items coming up in the month of March. You receive that in your newsletters. Take special note of some of those things. We gather here to worship our Savior this morning, the one who gives us life, who continue to give us life through giving of his life for us. Let's worship him this morning.
Let's stand and sing probably one of the greatest hymns there is, How Great Thou Art. Let's stand. seated.
This morning, our opening scripture reading comes from Psalm 99. The Lord reigns, let the nations tremble. He sits enthroned between the cherubim, let the earth shake. Great is the Lord in Zion. He is exalted over all the nations. Let them praise your great and awesome name. He is holy. The King is mighty. He loves justice. You have established equity. In Jacob you have done what is just and right. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his footstool. He is holy. Moses and Aaron were among his priests. Samuel was among those who called on his name. They called on the Lord, and he answered them. He spoke to them from the pillar of cloud. They kept his statutes and the decrees he gave them. O Lord our God, you answered them. You are to Israel a forgiving God, though you punish their misdeeds. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy mountain. For the Lord our God is holy. The Lord our God is holy. And that is what has called us to worship this day. That's what calls us to pray today. That's what calls us to sing praise to him this day. Let us go to the Lord who is holy this morning. Awesome and majestic God, your creative power, your glory and holiness were experienced by your people of old as clouds and fire guided them to freedom. They believed that no one could see your face and live. How blessed, therefore, are we, for you have revealed your face to us in Jesus, the human face of your love. You also equip us for our journey through life and beyond by breathing new and everlasting life into our very beings through the gift of the Holy Spirit. These people of old believed that it was your presence with them which made them a chosen and special people. We praise and adore you, O God, for making our lives so special by choosing to share your life with us in and through Jesus. May this time of worship and the service of our lives reveal our thanksgiving and our wonder that you should so care for us so much. This we pray in Jesus Christ's name this morning. Amen.
Our next hymn this morning is a communion hymn. And I want you to think about, as we share the meal together in a few minutes, think about the sacrifice Jesus gave for us. Let's stay.
Remember the promise made earlier.
starting this Wednesday with Ash Wednesday, the Christian church will enter the season of Lent, which is a 40-day period of reflection, devotion, and prayer as we prepare ourselves to encounter the cross with Jesus Christ and the wonderment of the empty tomb. As a part of this preparation for our church, I'll be leading two adult studies, one virtually on Tuesday nights on Facebook Live and one on Sunday nights in the fellowship hall to help us remember, reflect, and renew ourselves for Holy Week. The virtual study titled Witness at the Cross is drawn from the book from Pastor Amy Jill Levine that examines the individuals who witness the final days leading up to the cross and crucifixion itself. Through examining what Scripture tells about them, what they saw, and what they heard, we too can better understand the sacrifice that Christ made. This study will begin on Tuesday, March 8th at 7 p.m. on Facebook Live. Our in-person study goes a little bit different direction. Some might say it's even heavenly. Titled The Last Supper on the Moon, this five-week study by Pastor Levi Lusco weaves in the history of the U.S. space program with the famous sevens of Jesus, the seven I Ams in John, the seven last words from the cross, and the seven letters addressed to the churches in Revelation. How does the fact that the astronaut Buzz Aldrin, right before he stepped foot on the moon, observed communion in a sacred moment in history? How does that speak to our understanding of who God is and God's love for us? Join me on Sunday nights starting at 5 p.m., which will begin on March 20th, to find out this answers and much more. You might learn a little bit of history about space as well. I hope you'll choose one or both of these studies to join me to prepare yourself during the season of Lent, because that's what these 40 days are all about, to prepare ourselves to encounter Christ once again on the cross and encounter once again the empty tomb. At this time, I'll call on Deacon Liz Hill for our offertory prayer.
Let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this day, for the rain to nourish your creation. We are blessed and thankful to gather in your house, and please continue to bless this congregation. We lift up those on the prayer list, and we ask for your healing and for your comfort for their families. We lift up the love offering for Carson and Laura Fishee. Please continue to wrap your arms around them as they serve you in Japan. Please continue to guide them as they spread your love and keep them safe. We lift up this offering. We ask your blessing on the gifts and the givers through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you, praise team, for leading worship this morning. Over the past few weeks, mounting tensions have increased between the nations of Russia and Ukraine. As many of you watched either late on Wednesday night or woke up to on early Thursday morning, we have seen these escalating political tensions come to a head as Russian armed forces have begun attacks on the people of Ukraine, leaving many casualties already and turmoil in the streets. Not too long ago, our church sent a mission team to Kyiv, Ukraine, and they got to experience the love of this nation, the love of the people. Our hearts go out to all those who are in the midst of the turmoil this very hour. Our prayers are for peace. Our prayers are for our entire world who has been and will continue to be affected by this turmoil. This morning, let us pray for this crisis, lifting up our prayer to the God who is the God of peace. If you are able, would you please stand with me this morning as we stand in unity with churches across this world who are lifting up prayer for the nation this morning. Please stand if you're able. This morning I'm going to share a prayer that was penned by the United Methodist Church, Witness for Peace, that was prayed just a few days ago. Let us go to the Lord in prayer this day. Holy and gracious God, we pray for the people of the Ukraine and the people of Russia, for their countries and their leaders. We pray for all those who are afraid, that your everlasting arms hold them in this time of great fear. We pray for all those who have the power over life and death, that they will choose for all people life and life in all its fullness. We pray for those who choose war, that they will remember that you direct your people to turn swords into plowshares and to seek peace. We pray for leaders on the world stage, that they are inspired by the wisdom and courage of Jesus Christ. Above all, Lord, today we pray for peace in Ukraine, and we ask in the name of your blessed Son, Lord, have mercy. Amen. You may be seated. Over the coming days, we will share with the congregation how you can support what's going on overseas in what little ways we may know. You may have seen many. I've been reading different religious organizations and how they're seeking to help in the midst of this chaos. We'll be sharing those in the coming days. If you see a way to help, help. Don't put it off. Do what you can to support and be in prayer, because prayer is powerful. Prayer, it can make a difference in this world. Again, let me say good morning to our church. Good morning to all those who gather in worship this day. And I want to say thank you for joining me for worship this morning on what is known as Transfiguration Sunday, as we celebrate the account of the Lord's Supper. Let me be honest with you. How many of you knew today was Transfiguration Sunday? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Oftentimes we overlook it in the Baptist church. We kind of gloss it over unless the pastor happens to be struggling what he's going to preach for on that Sunday. And he looks at the lectionary from other denominations and they say, oh wow, that I could preach on that. I actually knew it was Transfiguration Sunday, and I actually had it marked 6 or 7 months ago that I was going to preach on Transfiguration this morning. If you're watching us at home this morning via Facebook Live, I would encourage you to go ahead and have your communion elements ready for just a little bit later in the worship service. As I've been reading and preparing for this season of Lent and the Lenten studies that I'll be starting in just a couple weeks, I've come to a very simple fact about our religion. The simple fact is this. Christianity is a strange religion. Amen? Y'all might be thinking, you ever heard a pastor say that from the pulpit before? Christianity is a strange religion. Now, don't give up on me because I said that at the beginning. Hang with me as I preach my sermon today, and I might guess by the end of the sermon, you might be thinking, you know what? David might be right about that this morning. Let me share a story with you as I begin. A doctor wrote this sometime back while he was in college. He met a gentleman whom, when he first saw this man had no hair on the back of his head. And this doctor said, as an ignorant 18-year-old, he thought to himself, wow, that's just a strange haircut. Well, another friend informed this doctor that the man had just completed radiation and chemotherapy for a malignant tumor. The doctor went on to say, I became close friends with this man shortly afterwards. Later on, this man got married, and ultimately, because of the cancer treatment he had early on in his life, they were unable to have children naturally. Instead, the couple chose to adopt several children. Now, the doctor goes on to say, I wish we could say the happy story ends there, that everything went well and everything went great, but that's not how the story goes. Several of the children they adopted ended up having severe medical problems. He said, I'm not talking about minor problems. I'm not talking about colds and the flu. I'm talking about serious ones, multiple hospitalizations, grief that you cannot even begin to describe. In an email to this person, the man described his struggle with God's goodness when his child was gripped again, once again by an illness, and once again hospitalized. And this is the email he shared. He was exasperated, and he called to God saying, I can't go on like this, God. Why is this happening? And from God, no answer. If this is love, God, then I don't want love. I don't like it. Again, from God, no answer. How can you be doing this to me, God? You are going to have to show me something because I do not get it and I cannot keep this up. Again, no answer. But then he asked, do you have any idea what it is like to see your son suffering? And then he stopped. He stopped with that question. Do you have any idea what it is like to see your son suffering? You see, he had his answer. God's answer to our suffering, to this man's suffering, was to become one of us, to suffer with us and for us. The man finished his story. I cried buckets that night. Again, Christianity is a strange religion. I do not have to tell you that we live in a lost, fallen, and broken world. There is a lot of pain. Some of the pain is almost unimaginable. It can't be so bad. It can be so bad sometimes that we hardly believe it is real. I cannot imagine the pain, the grief, the anguish of the families who have lost loved ones, from children to grandchildren, from the COVID virus. I can only guess at the pain in the hearts and minds of the families, the men, the women, and the children who stand in the middle of a bubbling war in the Ukraine as we speak this morning. Or what about the parents of a child who has always been filled with joy, happiness, and such promise, but suddenly ill and is diagnosed with a terminal disease. What are we to do? What are we to think? How are we to cope with such pain? Christianity, it's a strange religion. This Sunday is the last Sunday before the season of Lent. I do hope you'll join with me in one of those Bible studies I'll be leading over the next couple weeks. Lent begins with Ash Wednesday, this Wednesday, and includes the 40 days, not including Sundays, before Easter. Between Ash Wednesday and Resurrection Sunday, a whole lot of things happen. The Lord of glory is arrested. He's beaten. He experiences the full extent of our pain and our grief. He is humiliated. He is spit upon. He is deserted by his family and his friends. He's then forced, bloody, and weakened to carry his own cross, his own torture device, out to a horrible hill where Roman guards nail his hands and feet to it. The cross is lifted up, ripping at his feet and his hands. He undergoes the most painful, horrific death imaginable. All the while, he's laughed at. He's mocked. Flies buzz around him. Birds of prey fly overhead. Animals lick their chops and bite at his feet. Why does he do this? He does this because we suffer. He does this because we suffer. He does this because he loves us and has come to suffer with us. He does this to let us know that we're not alone, and that this often painful life that we may experience on a daily basis is not some random, cruel joke. He does this to show us that the God of the universe is one with us in our suffering. He does this because this is how much God so loves you and me and everyone else. He does this to demonstrate what our suffering does to him. What it feels like for God to see us go through what we go through on this earth. He does this to give us hope, faith, and to fill our hearts with love for God and for another. Christianity, what a strange religion. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9, verses 28 through 36. The words will be on the wall behind me as well. The Transfiguration story is another one of those strange stories that speaks to us about how unique and strange our religion is. It reveals the power and the love of Christ for humanity. Just before our passage occurs this morning, Jesus told Peter, James, and John this. He says, "I assure you that some standing here won't die before they see God's kingdom." Now guess what? They did not have to wait very long. Reading Luke chapter 9, verses 28 through 36, about 8 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter, John, and James with him and went up onto a mountain to pray. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor talking with Jesus. They spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. Peter and his companions were very sleepy, but when they became fully awake, they saw the glory, his glory, and the two men standing with him. As the men were leaving Jesus, Peter said to him, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what he was saying. While he was speaking, a cloud appeared and enveloped them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. A voice came from the cloud saying, "This is my son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, they found that Jesus was alone. The disciples kept this to themselves and told no one at that time what they had seen. As Jesus was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes flashed white like lightning. Talk about a strange attention grabber. I think it would have opened our eyes up pretty quick. What a way to wake up from a nap. That's what was going on with the disciples. And they woke up to this. Then all of these things, Moses and Elijah, suddenly appear. Moses and Elijah had not been around for thousands of years. They had been long gone. They had been in the ground for some time. Now, these are two of the most famous people in Jewish history. If there was a Mount Rushmore for the Jewish heroes, these two would have definitely been on it. They are seeing into another dimension. Peter, James, and John were seeing into another reality. They are suddenly in heaven itself. We are told that Moses and Elijah are clothed in glorious splendor. Your translation may say they were dressed heavenly. They are talking to Jesus about his upcoming journey to the cross. Such an amazing experience. Can you imagine if you would have been there? They are literally seeing God's kingdom before they die, just as Jesus had just said. What could be better? There's nothing that could be better. They are literally seeing God's kingdom. They are seeing Jesus, Moses, and Elijah high up on a mountain, the very presence of God. How could they possibly return to a dark, lost, pain-filled world at the bottom of that mountain? Peter must have thought this was it. Because you know Peter would have said something, because Peter was the talker of the disciples. And Peter thought, this is it. This is what I've been waiting for. Wow, this is incredible. He was probably thinking to himself in the back of his mind, this is pretty strange, but wow, this is incredible. He must have felt like this was the beginning of everlasting life in heaven. Except it didn't last. He thought never again would he have to face the terrors of life and pain on this earth. Yet, it didn't last. Never again would he have to deal with pain and suffering and disease and anguish and evil and war and death. Yet, it didn't last. And why would anybody ever want to go to the bottom of that mountain for what they were seeing that day? You would have to be crazy to. Some people might actually call you strange. Then Peter sees that Moses and Elijah are getting ready to leave, and he panics. Wait a minute! Hey, wait! He shouts in desperation, "It's good that we are here. We should construct 3 shelters. Basically, he was saying, let's build 3 shrines so we can stay here. All of us can stay here as good buddies and good friends at the top of this mountain. Please stay forever. Don't go anywhere. 1 for Jesus, 1 for Moses, 1 for Elijah. Guess what? A disciple could take care of each shelter. It's perfect. Just hold on a little bit longer. I will do it quickly, I promise." Peter was thinking to himself, "I can collect everything I need. All the supplies are up here on the mountain. Please do not go anywhere." We are told that Peter was still speaking when a cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him." And then they were gone. Elijah, Moses were gone. It was just Peter, James, and John, and Jesus left on the top of that mountain. It was getting time to start heading back down to earth. Do you think it was easy for Peter, James, and John to listen to Jesus and leave that mountain where they literally saw, felt, and experienced heaven? Do you think it was easy for Jesus to head back down the mountain knowing that it would not only be, he would not only face immediately the reality of the world that was facing him, but the reality of the pain that he was about to encounter? He would be deliberately heading to the most excruciating death imaginable. Could Jesus have decided not to do it? Could Jesus have made the decision that it was not worth it and stay up on top of that mountain? Well, sure. Sure. Would his love for humankind allow him to make that most tempting of decisions? Would his goodness and mercy allow it? Would his holiness and sovereignty allow it? God being God had to come, suffer, and die. If he had not done it, he would not be God. For God is love, and God will not, cannot sit back and passively watch as you and I suffer. Christianity, such a strange religion. What do you make of it? Does it cause you to look at things maybe a little bit differently? Does it give you hope despite the fact that you presently live, and we all presently live, in a perishable body that is aging or will age and one day become plagued with disease, pain, and death? Does this give you hope when you look around and see people living with the agony of loss, disappointment, poverty, hunger, fear, war, and mourning? Does this give you faith that there is a God who is with you, who loves you, and the difficulties that you presently face will not have the last word? Does this cause you to love God back because of the great love that God has for you? Does this cause you to love others because of the love that God has for you? Do you find that you can start to love others and yourselves in ways that you've never thought were possible? And in loving God and loving others, do you find a peace? And that's something we all need right now. A peace that transcends all the difficulties of life, and a joy that cannot be broken nor taken away no matter what the world throws at us. If so, can you taste the victory, which was won by Jesus Christ on the cross, who gave his body and blood for us? Christianity, what a strange religion, but one I wouldn't trade for anything. Let's pray. Holy God, we see your glory in the face of Jesus Christ, just as Peter, James, and John experienced a taste of your power and love on top of that mountain. We too get to experience a taste of your love through gathering around the table, partaking of the body and blood of our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Prepare us for this act of love so that when we depart from this place, unlike the disciples, they kept silent when they left that mountain, we will be eager to proclaim the mystery of your love and grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As Peter, James, and John descended from that mountain, they didn't know what to say. They didn't know what they had just experienced. It was a mystery. It was something unfathomable. They didn't know how to process it. The same could be said for those that witnessed Jesus Christ giving his body on the cross for us. Thankfully, after the fact, we can understand the mystery of his love. We can understand the mystery of who Jesus is and why he did what he did. Because he loved us so much to change the world, to give the opportunity for peace and love in a world that needs it. That's why we can partake of his body and blood this morning. As the disciples gathered with him that night, I'm sure they were a little confused, just like Peter, James, and John were on the top of that mountain. As they were reclined around that table, as they were enjoying a meal with family, and he started speaking about bread and body and wine and blood, they probably didn't get it. They probably didn't comprehend. But we do. We understand the significance of that meal. And that's what draws us back to the table on a regular basis. On that night, as Jesus gathered with his disciples, he took a loaf of bread. He picked it up and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body broken for you." Let us pray. Father, prepare us to once again encounter Jesus Christ through the elements of the Lord's Supper. Father, he gave his life, his body, by coming to this earth, living a life on this world that is broken, experiencing the suffering that we go through, and giving the ultimate sacrifice for us. Thank you for the sacrifice of your body, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The body of Christ was broken for you. Take and eat. In the same way, that evening, he took the cup and he said, "This is the blood of the new covenant that is poured out for you." Let us pray. Father, not only did you give your body, but you shed your blood for us, establishing a new covenant that we can have with you through the love of your Son. Father, we thank you that Jesus Christ came to show us what true love looks like through sacrifice. Father, as we partake of the blood, we ask that you transform us. May it change us, and may we be the individuals that you seek for us to be. It is life transforming. Amen. The blood of Christ was shed for you. Take and drink. Scripture tells us that after the disciples partook of the body and blood of Christ that evening at that meal, They sang a hymn and then went out. But unlike the disciples from the mountain of Transfiguration, we're called to go out and share the love of Christ, not to keep silent, not to question it, because we know the rest of the story. We know that the religion that we might label as strange is so unique and so powerful and so world-transforming. So let us sing this morning. And as you sing, if there's a commitment that you need to make today, maybe it's just getting right with God, I'll be down here, down front. Come talk with me. Let's pray about it. Let's stand and sing as the body of Christ this morning. Leave today. Go share the message of the love and power of this strange religion that we practice. Share the love of Christ wherever you go. And I hope to see you next Sunday. Go in peace.